This is a celebration of Purim. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that after this concludes. This is a condensed version of the Book of Esther, thanks to my lovely wife Tammy, who did a fantastic job taking the whole book and condensing it down. So, what this is also a bit about is a bit of a pantomime thing. So we have a group of readers here, which will be reading through the parts, and the corresponding actors will be acting out parts, their interpretation of the parts, which will always vary according to whatever they want to do. So that's the way that's going to progress. And we will get started. I will be the narrator. During the third year of the reign of King Ahasuerus of Persia, the king hosted a six-month-long banquet for all his princes and attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media, etc., etc., etc. During the last 7 days of the banquets, the king decided he wanted to close the banquet with a grand finale. When the king's mind and stomach were full of wine, he commanded 7 eunuchs to bring his beautiful Queen Vashti before him with her royal crown in order to display her beauty to his honored guests. Queen Vashti refused the king's command delivered by the eunuchs. The king became very angry and his wrath burned within him. The king consulted his favorite wise men, Karshena, Shetar, Admata, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, and Memuchan, the 7 leading princes of Persia and Media. He asked them what he should do with Queen Vashti's conduct during the banquet. Speaking on behalf of the others, Memuchan said,
"Your Majesty, the Queen's conduct here will become known to all the women of the kingdom. They will look with contempt on their husbands by saying, 'King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence, but she did not come. All the women of the most noble princes to the lowliest peasant will presume to treat their husbands even worse than Queen Vashti treated you, my king. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let an irrevocable royal edict be issued in the laws of Persia and Media that Vashti will no longer come into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to a more worthy woman. The king's edict as a law of the Medes and the Persians will cause all women to give honor to their husbands, great and small.'"
The king took Memuchan's counsel and he sent letters to all 127 provinces in his kingdom, from India to Ethiopia, to every people according to their language. The letters said every man should be the master of his own house. After the king's anger subsided, he remembered his decision about Vashti, his attendants wishing to distract the king from any regret over Vashti's dismissal, said,
"My king, call upon your servants to find the most beautiful young virgins in the kingdom and have them brought to Susa. The eunuch Haggai can take custody of them since he is in charge of the harem. He'll make sure they have access to the best cosmetics and perfumes. Then let the young lady who pleases the king from this contest replace Vashti as queen."
The king liked this idea, so he did this quickly. Now, while the king was planning a beauty contest to replace Vashti, there was a man who lived in Susa, one of the Yehudim called Mordecai. Yay! the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a descendant of Benjamin. His family had been taken into exile from Jerusalem with Jeconiah, king of Yehuda, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He raised his beautiful young cousin, Hadassah, as though she were his own daughter. Hadassah, who is also known as Esther, was rounded up along with many other beautiful young women in the king's search for a new queen. Esther was brought to the king's palace and placed in Haggai's custody. Esther quickly garnered Haggai's favor and lacked nothing in her beauty preparations, including 7 maidens to attend her every need. Esther, and as well as all like her competitors, were subjected to the same beauty regimen, 6 months with myrrh and 6 months with spices and appropriate feminine cosmetics. When the woman was ready to see the king, she would visit him in the evening. The next morning, she would return to the second harem to the custody of Shaashgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not again go into the king unless the king delighted in her and summoned her by name. Mordecai nervously awaited for news of Esther's fate, for he had told her not to reveal her true heritage. When Esther's turn came to meet the king for the first time, she presented herself to him exactly as Haggai advised her, and she won the king's heart. 4 years after Vashti had been expelled from the palace, Persia had a new queen. The king put the royal crown on her head and hosted a 7-day banquet to celebrate his newfound joy. While Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, he overheard Bigtan and Teresh, 2 of the king's officials, plotting to assassinate King Ahasuerus. He brought this information to Queen Esther, who notified the king of the plot. After a complete investigation, the men were hanged for this conspiracy. After this time, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedata of Agag, as prime minister of the whole kingdom of Persia. The king commanded all his subjects to bow to Haman as they would to the king. But Mordecai refused to bow down or pay homage to Haman. This act of defiance alarmed Mordecai's friends. It also caught Haman's attention. Haman's solution to Mordecai's act defiance was limited to punishing Mordecai for his transgression. Haman set his heart on a final solution: kill all the Yehudim in the entire Persian Empire from India to Ethiopia. That was his plan. In the first month, called Nisan, 5 years after Esther became queen of Persia, Haman cast his Purim, Hebrew for an instrument of determined chance, to choose the month and day to kill the Yehudim. Then he presented his plan to the king.
There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of the Persian Empire. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be annihilated. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the king's treasuries to offset the costs.
The king gave Haman his signet ring and the authority to carry out his plan as he outlined, and told Haman to keep his money. Then the king's scribes wrote a decree just as Haman commanded. It was translated into all the languages of the empire and sent to every province. It was written in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's signet ring. The decree said to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Yehudim, both young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to seize their possessions as plunder. The decree was issued at the citadel in Susa as well. While the king and Haman sat down to drink and make merry, the city of Susa was in confusion. Mordecai learned of the decree, and he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went all over the city wailing loudly and bitterly. In each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, Yehudim followed Mordecai's example. Yay! With fasting, weeping, and wailing, many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's maidens discovered Mordecai's distressing behavior and notified the queen. She sent for Hatach, one of the king's eunuchs. She asked Hatach to go to Mordecai and to discover the source of Mordecai's terrible distress. Mordecai gave Hatach a copy of the king's edict and told him to give it to the queen. The queen read the notes and ordered Hatach to send her reply.
It is well known that it's a death sentence for any man or woman to come to the king's inner court without an invitation. Unless the king holds out his arm, his golden scepter, so that he may live, the king has not summoned me for a month.
Do not imagine the king's palace or his many guards can shelter you from the fate of all the Yehudim. If you remain silent now, relief and deliverance will arise from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?
Mordecai!
Yay!
Go assemble all the Yehudim who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will do the same. Then I will go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish.
So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. After 3 days, she prepared herself, dressed herself in royal robes, and went unannounced to the king. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courts, The king favored her and extended the golden scepter toward her. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter.
What is troubling you, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even the half of the kingdom, it shall be given to you.
If it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for them.
The king was so curious and intrigued about Esther's request, he called out to his servants,
"Bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires."
Later at Esther's banquet, the king and Haman were enjoying the queen's feast. The king asks a second time,
"What is your petition? For it shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be done."
"My petition and my request is, if I have pleased your majesty, and if you are inclined to grant my petition and to do what I request, may the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet, and I will prepare for them. Then I will do as the king asks."
The king left Esther's banquet excited and curious about what the next day would bring. Haman left Esther's banquet glad and pleased of heart until she saw Mordecai of Yehuda at the gate, still refusing to bow before him. Haman did not let his anger control him. He went home to tell his family about what happened at the palace that day.
Esther the queen hosted an exclusive banquet that she had prepared. Only the king and I were there, you know. Tomorrow, Esther is hosting a second banquet just for the king and me. All of this does not satisfy me every time I see Mordecai of Yehuda sitting at the king's gate. I have an idea to settle your heart. Have a pole 75 feet high made tonight. Tomorrow morning, ask the king's permission to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go joyfully with the king to the queen's banquet. Think of it as a down payment for what is to come.
This idea pleased Haman very much, and he was able to go to sleep happily. The king, on the other hand, had a bad case of insomnia. Like a classic workaholic, the king asked his servant to read to him from the Book of Records, the Chronicles. When the reader got to the story about Mordecai's thwarting of the assassination plot, the king asked his servant,
"What honor or dignity has bestowed on Mordecai for this?"
"Nothing has been done for him, your majesty."
"Is anyone in the court?"
The servants found that Haman was in the court well rested after a good night's sleep. So the servants brought Haman to the king.
"What is to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor?"
Haman thought to himself,
"Who would the king desire to honor more than me? My king, for the man who the king desires to honor, let one of the king's most noble princes bring a royal robe that the king has worn and place it upon the man. Also, allow the honored man to ride a horse that the king has ridden. A royal crown should be placed upon his head as well. And then have the king's noble prince lead the honored man on horseback throughout the city square, proclaiming before all of Susa, "Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor."
Take quickly the robes and the horses, as you have said, and do this for Mordecai of Yehuda, who sits at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything you have said. Do it quickly, so we don't miss the queen's banquet this afternoon.
After Haman had fulfilled the king's command, he went home heavy-hearted. He told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him.
If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Yehuda, you will not overcome him, but will surely fall before him.
Before Haman had a chance to respond or think about his wife's warning, he was immediately summoned by the king's servant to attend Esther's second feast. As the banquet was coming to an end, the king asked the question that was on Haman's mind as well.
"What is your petition, Queen Esther?" "It shall be granted you." "And what is your request?" "Even to half the kingdom it shall be done."
"If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me as my petition and my people as my request. We have been sold, and I, my people, to be utterly annihilated. Now, if we had only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not have commiserate with the annoyance to the king."
"Who is he, and where is he, who would presume to do this?"
"A foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman."
The king left the room to try to cool his anger. Haman stayed behind and fell upon Queen Esther's couch to petition her to save his life. When the king saw this, he said,
"Haman, will you even assault the queen while I am in my own house?"
As the word went out of the king's mouth, a servant covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said,
"There's a pole in front of Haman's house, 75 feet high. Apparently, he made it to hang Mordecai."
Hey!
"Who spoke good on behalf of the king?"
"Hang Haman on it."
So they suspended Haman on the shaft he had built for Mordecai. Haman's position as prime minister was given to Mordecai. And Haman's household goods were given over to Esther and Mordecai as an inheritance. But this is not the end of the story.
Ooh.
Esther went before the king again, unannounced. The king again granted her mercy. He extended the golden scepter to Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king.
If I have found favor before you, and the matter seems proper to the king, please revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, a descendant of Agag. Haman wrote them to destroy the Yahadim, who are in all the king's provinces. Now can I endure seeing the calamity that will befall my people? How can I endure seeing the destruction of my kingdom?
The king calls in Mordecai.
Yay!
And tells him,
"Behold, I have given the house of Haman to Esther. And I had Haman hung on the pole, because he had stretched out his hands against the Yehudim and against my queen. Now you write to the Yehudim as you see fit, in my name, and seal it with my signet ring, a decree written in the name of the king, and sealed with the king's signet ring, may not be revoked."
This was a couple of months after Haman's decree had been sent out. Mordecai wrote a response with the king's signet ring, which went out to all the provinces of the empire. This new edict granted the Yehudim in every city of the Persian Empire the right to assemble on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month called Adar. They could defend their lives to destroy, kill, and annihilate the entire army of any people or province that might attack them and to plunder their spoil. On that one day, in all of the provinces of King Ahasuerus, the Yehudim celebrated the new edict from the king. When the 13th day of the 12th month came, the Yehudim mastered their enemies. Even all the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and those who were doing the king's business assisted the Yehudim, because the dread of Mordecai,
yay,
had fallen upon them. The Yehudim were victorious over all their enemies and killed over 75,000 of them. The Yehudim did not lay their hands on the plunder. The king granted the Yehudim an extra day to finish the job. The Yehudim celebrate this holiday with rejoicing! Feasting,
yay!
And sending food to one another,
yay!
And gifts to the poor.
Yay!
Then Queen Esther,
aww,
and Mordecai,
yay,
recorded the history of this time and obliged Yehudim to celebrate the 14th and 15th days of Adar annually, because on these days the Yehudim rid themselves of their enemies. Their sorrow turned into gladness, and their mourning became a festival.